Oh, he sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise. Oh, and strong winds may blow. But I. I know, oh, he's sweet, I know, and storm clouds may rise, oh, and strong winds may blow. God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come. I want to thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We come now asking that you just allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. Then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It's in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. To our minister of music, Reverend Coleman, to all of the officers and members of the Mount Olive Church, and especially those who are visiting with us. And today to all the fathers, again, I say Happy Father's Day. Now, again, I've been inspired by the Sunday school lesson. And so I want to call our attention back to Judges chapter number 11. Judges chapter number 11. And I want to read in our hearing verses 1 through 7. It is. Everybody got to say amen. Everybody need a little more time, say hold on. All right, we're going to wait on you. Amen. And it reads, now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's son grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, you shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men band together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. Came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made the war against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob.
Yes.
They said to Jephthah, come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me, expel me from your father's house? Why have you come to me now when you're in distress? The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Last week, you may be seated, we talked about a nobody who made a difference. But on this Father's Day, I want to talk, step off of my Sunday school lesson and talk about a reject who became a ruler.
All right.
A reject who became a ruler.
Yes.
And so let me begin by saying that at the time of our text, thank you, Asha, the spiritual climate in Israel during those days is summed up by the last verse in the book of Judges, in Judges 25 and 25, that says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But I thank God that we serve a forgiving God who will forgive us and restore us back into fellowship with him when we come to him in genuine repentance, asking for forgiveness. Like in the text, Israel failed and he chastised them, but God always took them back when they repented of their sins. But now, while the times of the judges were dark and dismal days, a few stand out as bright lights against that darkness. And one of those lights is a man before us in our text by the name of Jephthah. And my brothers and sisters, what the word of God teaches us about this man should serve as encouragement to every person in this room and even to those who may be listening by way of radio. Because the text will reveal that Jephthah walked through some rough places in his life. He was a man rejected by his family, outcast by society, and written off by everyone who should have cared for him. And yet he overcame all the obstacles in his life, and he accomplished some great things for the Lord. But now Jephthah is not an altogether good example, and you might wonder why this, because first of all, he was chosen to lead the people by the people and not by God. In other words, while he was not the Lord's choice as a judge in Israel, the Lord allowed him to lead his people to victory for his own purposes. But Israel would make the same mistake years later when they would choose Saul to be their king and reject God as their sole ruler. But ever God had a plan in using Jephthah, and so as we consider our text and subject, the reject who became a ruler, but we note that verse 1 through 3 reveals to us an appalling rejection. Now in revealing his character in verse 1a, it shows that he was a mighty man of valor, meaning he was a man marked by great bravery. Now the word valor means strength, ability, and efficiency. He was the kind of man who refused to back down. He was the kind of man you would like to have at your back when you're in battle. He was the kind of man that others would look to for leadership. He was strong, able, and efficient. Now the text, the next truth we learn about this man is the fact that he was the son of a harlot. Note right after revealing all the good things, the word but comes up next. And usually, when no matter how positive someone speaks of you, when that conjunction but appears, you better watch out, because here comes the negative. Notice says, but he was the son of a harlot, because his father, Gilead, was a man who frequented prostitutes, and one became pregnant for him and bore a son by the name of Jephthah. And so this was the major strike against him, as it marked him as an illegitimate son of Gilead. My brothers and sisters, like everyone in this room, Jephthah had marks in his plus column and marks in his minus column. In other words, he had areas in his life that were extraordinary, while other areas were problematic. But guess what? We are all in the same boat. Because most of us do not try to hide our abilities, but we go through great lengths to conceal our problems. And so all this reminds us is that we are human, and as long as we live in this world, we are going to remain less than perfect. Because no matter how far up the ladder of holiness we climb, we are still sinners and still in need of a Savior. But because, yes, Lord, Jacob was the son of a harlot, this also brought about, according to verse 2, his conflict, because his father also had children with his wife. And so when those legitimate children reached maturity, they all turned on Jacob. Now, more than likely, they were motivated by greed. And so with Jacob out of the way, there was more money to go around. Besides that, Jacob's presence in the family was a constant reminder of their father's infidelity. Perhaps they had hated him all their lives. They may have even envied him since he was strong, able, and efficient. In other words, he was probably everything they were not, and they turned on him. They hated him because he represented everything that they could never be. And so we know that Jacob paid a price for the sins of his father. His father was a philanderer who brought an illegitimate child into the world, calling him to live with the stigma of his father's sin his whole life. My brothers and sisters, his life was scarred by the actions of his father, his half-brothers and sisters, but he didn't stoop to the same level of evil he saw in them. In other words, Jacob broke the cycle of sin in his family and became a better man than the others. But now this text isn't saying that God would punish you for what your parents did, but it does mean that what your parents did will often bear fruit in your life. But it does not mean what your parents did. But why is this? Because children often develop attitude that is similar to their parents. In other words, many times we have prejudice, likes, and dislikes that are built into us by our parents. And so the fact is, a lot of what we do is generational. Now, we may not like it, but my brothers and sisters, we carry the influence of our family with us all the days of our lives. If your mother was hateful, that there's a good chance that you might have the tendency to. If your father was a drunk, you could also be prone to that problem. If you grew up hearing criticism and negativity, you have a good chance of becoming a negative person also. If you grew up in an abusive home, you might have the mindset, that mindset as well. But my brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that somebody has to break that cycle. Because just because your parents did certain things to you or around you, it doesn't mean that those things have to be a part of your life today. Why? Because you have the opportunity to change. Because there's power, there's grace and help in the person of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Because my brothers and sisters, when we yield to God and allow him to work in our lives, we can rest assured that he will work to change us into his image. This is his goal, and that's why Romans 8:28 and 29 says that we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, I don't know if that speaks to any of your hearts today, but let's break the cycle of sin in our families and set our children free. Because there is help, there's hope, and there's power in the word of God. In other words, just because your earthly family may have turned against you, like the young folks say, it's all good. Because if you are saved, you are a member of a new family. And your heavenly Father will never turn you away. And your true brothers and sisters will never fail to love you, forgive you, and stand by you. And that's the nature of the new family. Yes, rejection is hateful but beneficial, because God uses the animosity and attacks of others to build our character and refine our lives. And so in verse 1 through 3, it reveals the life of Jephthah, and the life of Jephthah, an appalling rejection. But in verses 4 through 8, we see an astonishing request. Note at this time, Jephthah is living his life in exile. He's something of a Robin Hood kind of figure, Brother Buckner. He's protecting the Israelites and making the best out of the situation when his own people came looking for him. They came to him with an astonishing request. And so verse 4 and 5 reveals to us that the cause of the request. Israel is now under attack by the Ammonites, who are trying to take over the land. And my brothers and sisters, the children of Ammon were the descendants of Abraham's nephew Lot through an incestuous relationship with one of his daughters. The Ammonites were cousins to the Jews, but they were also perpetual enemies. So Israel is under attack, and they do not have a strong leader to guide them to victory over their enemies. But then verse 6 reveals the character of the request, was that the elder of his people came to him requesting that he would come back to be their commander. Now, at one point they asked him to leave, but now they come to him asking him to lead. Now, what a change of mind. Oh, what a change of direction. My brothers and sisters, this is just a reminder that the call to service might come without notice. And we are to be ready and prepared to answer his call when it's come. Now, our duty is to faithfully serve the Lord wherever we are. It's God's responsibility to open the doors of ministry and opportunity. But it's our responsibility to grow where we are planted and to trust the Lord to use us when and where and how he sees fit. All we have to do is make our hearts available, because when we serve him faithfully today, he will look after our tomorrow's. But now the commitment of the request is seen in verse 7 and 8, where Jephthah recounts their past attitude toward him. He reminds them that they were the ones who asked him to leave, but now they want him to come back and be their ruler. The ones who rejected him and cast him out is now asking him to come back and be their boss. They're offering him control of their lives. In other words, they had no use for him when things was going well. But when the bottom fell out, they ran to him for help in time of need. And in the same way, this is how many people treat the Lord today. They treat him like an unwanted intruder in their lives. They treat him like he's a spare tire on the car of their lives. He's to stay in the trunk and keep quiet, but he better be ready when they have a flat and they pull him out. But my brothers and sisters, if we leave the Lord out of our lives, he may just let you deal with your problem on your own or when it comes. And if he does, you can't blame nobody but yourself. But I thank God for his mercy and his grace. Well, finally, we see in verse 11 an amazing response. Now, verse 9 and 11a reveals Jephthah's acceptance, because after confirming their offer is valid, he consents to go with them and lead them to victory. Note that his treatment is vastly different from their treatment to him. Even when they had abused him and treated him like dirt, Jephthah is still not bitter. He was able to get over the thing they did him, and he was able to see past their mean-spirited actions, and he caught a glimpse of the hand of God at work in his life. Yes, he might have been in exile from Israel, but he was never in exile from God, because unlike his relatives, he proves his commitment to the Lord by his treatment to others. Now, my brothers and sisters, whether you accept it or not, but how you treat others is a direct reflection of the place God holds in your heart. If we can spitefully mistreat and attack those who are made in God's image and bought by the blood of his son, it doesn't say much for our opinion for the Lord. Because when we love God as we should, we will also love others as we should. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John 4:20, he says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how in the world can you talk about you love God whom you've never seen? And so verse 11b reveals that the people honored their word, and they elevated the reject and made him a ruler. But it's in verse, the C part of verse 11, that we're told that Jephthah spoke all his word before the Lord at Mizpah. Now the word Mizpah means watchtower. It was there that Jacob and Laban made an agreement that they would not attack each other, and they called upon the Lord to witness their covenant. And that's what Jephthah is doing here. He's calling on the Lord to look upon the promises made to him by his people. He's calling on the Lord to watch over him as he goes out in the battle. He's acknowledging the Lord and looking to him for help he will need to win the victory. And we see that Jephthah knows that any victory that he might enjoy will come from the Lord. My brothers and sisters, I believe it would do us well to remember that any victory that we might enjoy in this life will be ours only if the Lord delights in us, because victory doesn't come from us, our efforts, or our abilities, but victory comes from the Lord and from a relationship that is centered in him and him alone. And that's why Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, he said, but I thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it pays to acknowledge God in everything that we do. It pays to call on him and look to him and trust him for victories we seek in life. Jephthah became a victor because not only because he was first a servant of God and he looked to God for help. And so as I try to move to the close, here we see that the reject became a ruler. But now most of us in this room may never become rulers in our lifetime, but there's a lesson, some lessons that we can take away from this message. Well, first of all, we learn that we all have our strengths and weaknesses, but the Lord can use us and make something special out of our lives. Secondly, there may be cycles of sin in our background, but it can be broken today. Thirdly, God can use you in spite of your past, your family, or your failures. My brothers and sisters, $100 bill has the same value, whether it's new, old, worn, or torn. Its value never changes. Fourthly, your treatment of others reveal how you really feel about God. And the final lesson we should take away from this message is that you can and should serve God faithfully today and trust him with all of your tomorrows. And so the story of Jephthah reveals how God can take a reject and make him into a ruler. So in closing, many others have suffered family, friends, and other types of rejection. But they broke the cycle by letting God take hold of their lives. David experienced it when Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons as the king of Israel. But they didn't even think about David to call him in to appear for the prophet. But still he became the king of Israel. But most of all, Jesus experienced rejection in his life. I hear Isaiah saying, Isaiah 53:3, that he was despised and he was rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Then John said he came to his own and his own received him not. He was rejected by all the spiritual leaders who say, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? His half-brothers mocked his claim to be the Messiah, and none of them believed on him until after his death and resurrection. Yes, even today he's rejected of men, but still he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and in me you'll find rest for your soul. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? If you don't know him this morning, I don't care if you're nobody. I don't care if you're a reject. You can come to the Lord just as you are by faith. And I tell you, he'll save your soul to the utmost. When family and friends turn their back on you, he can be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He can be a mother for the motherless. He can be a farmer for the fatherless. He can be a doctor in a courtroom. I don't know about you, but he is my all in all. I'm talking about Jesus, the one who hung dead and died on a hill called Calvary. And after laying in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, right early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave, declaring all power and heaven and earth is in my hand. Ain't God all right? And after showing himself alive for some 40 days, he caught a cloud and went back to glory. But he promised he's coming back again. Ain't God all right? Will you be ready when the Lord return? Will you be ready to greet him when he come back? I don't know about you, but it's because he lives I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. Ain't God all right?
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337 392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time. We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.